Friends, we are going to turn to the Word of God once again. And this morning I want to read some verses from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. So if you have your Bibles, and I trust you do, please turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And we will read from verse 1 down to verse 22. So let's just read together. Here we have the situation where Peter and John are brought before the council. And as they stand before the council, I want you to note their boldness and their faithfulness. And I want you to note that they are just ordinary men. That's really the title I've given my message for this morning, is when ordinary people become extraordinary. When ordinary people become extraordinary. Just as we read through this passage, I want you to see how these two very ordinary men became extraordinary and amazed the people. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. The next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done by to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. When they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. When they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. We will end our reading just there, and we trust that God's word will permeate our hearts this morning, even in the public reading of Holy Scripture. Before we come now to consider God's word, we will just bow for another moment of prayer. Father, we come to you just now. We do thank you this morning for this passage of Scripture that we have read together. We know that like every other part of this book, it is your inspired word. And we know that it has been written by those who have been moved by the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice in that. Now, Lord, as we would turn to it, we look to you for your help. Father, we know that if our people this morning just hear the voice of a man, it will be of no lasting benefit or blessing to them. But Lord, if we hear your voice this morning, we know that that will bless us now and also in the days to come. So we pray that the Spirit of the living God will fall afresh on us as we meet here for worship this morning. Oh, give us hearing ears, Lord. Give us understanding hearts. Give to us the help that we need to hear the voice of God minister to our own souls. Be glorified, we pray, in the preaching of your own holy word. And we ask these things once more in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. As I've said to you already, my title today is When Ordinary People Become Extraordinary. I want you to think about that title. I've chosen it carefully because it fits in exactly with what I want, with God's help this morning, to bring to you. It has been my desire, my deep desire, to comfort and encourage you over these days of uncertainty, these days of shutdown. That's why I've sought Monday through to Friday to give you a short message to encourage you and to comfort you through this time. I do not consider myself to be a writer, but I felt that as your pastor, it was my responsibility and, of course, privilege to seek to encourage you in the days in which we live and to help you to look up and see that there is a sovereign God who is carefully, wisely, and with great love, working out his own plan and working out his own purpose. I think that there's anything in the whole world that will bring greater comfort and encouragement to Christians than this great truth. Sadly, much of what is being said today seems to take away from that fact, but we, the children of God, know that God is sovereign, and that he is doing all this for his own glory and for the good of his children. I try to remind myself of that continually, not only through these days, but through life itself as one grows older, to remember that this hasn't changed, that all things are still working out for the glory of God. And that's, as children of God, that's what we want. That's what we long for his name to be glorified. And of course, he says to us, it also works out for our good. As an under shepherd, it is my responsibility to seek to imitate the chief shepherd as I watch for your souls. And today I want to encourage you to see how you can serve, love and serve faithfully the one who saved you from sin's penalty. I believe that everyone who is truly a child of God has that deep longing in his or her soul to love and to serve the Lord and to be faithful to him. In fact, I believe that that is one great proof that we are indeed the children of God. One of the chief tools used by Satan is to hinder Christians, in their service for the Lord, is the great lie that he puts out, and he often gives to us, he often fills our minds with it, that we are really not good material for serving God, that we are not really equipped for serving God. We are not smart enough. We are not educated enough, not yet capable or ready to serve the one and true God, to serve our God. Is that how you feel sometimes? Perhaps that is how you feel even this morning. Well, I plead with you not to be guided by your feelings, but to be guided by the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Please let me be clear this morning that if every Christian were to take that attitude of not being well enough equipped, of not being educated enough, of not being ready as yet to serve God, then it would be a very sad world. Over the years, many men and women have gone out to the far-flung parts of the world to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to needy people. Many have gone on to do great exploits for God. And yet when we sit down to examine them, we realize that as far as the world was concerned, they were a nobody. As far as they were concerned, they considered themselves as people who were not great, not mighty, not able, but men and women who recognized that with God, ordinary people can become extraordinary people. And my friends, with all my heart this morning, I want to seek to convey that truth to you so that you will go away today encouraged, not allow the evil one, not allow the world and the flesh and the devil to convince you that you are not a fit candidate to love and serve the King of Kings, even in these uncertain days. The text I take today comes from the passage that we have just read together, in Acts chapter 4, and it's verse 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished." When they saw and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Please note that verse. Let me read it again. You follow it again, because it's the key verse for our thoughts this morning. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." In the text, and these are not really my headings, but it comes out very clearly in the text we have seen. In this text, we can see three things here. We can see they were amazed at Peter and John's boldness. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were astonished. They were amazed at their boldness. Here they are standing before the chief priests and all the others. With great boldness, they're speaking out. They were astonished at their ability, because they knew Peter and John. They knew their background. They're utterly astonished. And they're aware, of course, of their association with Jesus. They recognized, the text says, that they had been with Jesus. Before them stands two, what I would consider, very ordinary men. Prior to following Jesus, they were both fishermen. They were men without any formal education. They were men who would just be ordinary people in their own community and in their own neighborhood. When they would have walked down the street or been by the sea, nobody would take any particular notice of them. They were ordinary, uneducated men. But here we see, and here we hear them declaring the great truths of Holy Scripture. They're declaring the great truths of Holy Scripture. They are amazing, these people, these two ordinary men. And as we seek to look back a little bit in their life, and we'll take a moment or two to do that this morning, we can see why they saw them as that. In Acts 4, 5 to 7, it says, "On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem." Now, I want you to see who they're speaking to. with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Now, please get the picture. Here are two ordinary fishermen. Up until they started to follow the Lord Jesus, they were fishermen. Now here they are standing in the presence of the great intellects of the day. And as they stand before them, they amaze them. They really amaze them. Why? Because of the wisdom. Because of how these men were speaking. If we go back to chapter 3, and I want to take time to read this. In chapter 3, verse 17 to 26, I think this will help us to understand why they're amazed. Here we have the words. "Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as did your rulers. But when God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. The times of refreshing and may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he might send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will rise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to the prophet shall be destroyed from the people.' And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days, 'You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all your families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from his wickedness.'" And then chapter 4 and verses 8 to 12, we've read, let's read it again. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and people, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. Thus Jesus, or this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builder, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which you must be saved.'" My dear friends, as we have just read that together, we must keep in mind that these words are being spoken by two ordinary fishermen. What was it that made these two ordinary fishermen so extraordinary? How could they come before the religious leaders and proclaim to them the great truths of the Word of God? Remember, they have the Old Testament. How could they do that? How could these ordinary men, these fishermen, how could they stand and speak with such wisdom and with such boldness? Now again, this morning, I say this to you because I want to encourage you. I want to encourage myself with this great fact, because I'm sure that all of us who sit here this morning and sit in our own homes, we consider ourselves as just very ordinary people. What made these men extraordinary? I give you three headings and I will deal with them. Firstly, their union and their communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Their union and their communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, their commitment to the Word of God. Their commitment to the study of the Word of God. And thirdly, their continual, their constant dependence upon the Holy Spirit. We find all of that in the passage that we have read together. And I am convinced beyond any doubt that it was these three things that took two ordinary men and many other ordinary men throughout and women throughout history and made them extraordinary in the service of God. So let us be encouraged now, as we consider these points together. Firstly, then, let us see their union and their communion with the Lord Jesus. They took note, it says, that they had been with Jesus. You see that again in our text. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. Now we must spoke the clock back a few years to the time when they have their first encounter with the Lord Jesus. Now you don't have to turn to these texts. I say that. You may want to just listen to it. You may want to turn to it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 to 22, this is what we read. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is also called Peter, that's one of the men, and Andrew, his brothers, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, no doubt as to what they were. Here is Peter and his brother Andrew. They're casting nets into the sea. They were fishermen. And Jesus came and he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I love that. Fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. So one of the two men was Peter, verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, that's the other fisherman, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. Fishermen spent a lot of time every day mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Immediately, they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So here we have the history of these two men. Here we have the very first day. No doubt they would have, or perhaps they would have heard Jesus preach before, but now he calls them. They leave their profession. They leave their nets. They leave their father and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this morning, folk, this is where everyone must begin. This is where every Christian must begin. You see, from that time forward, these two men walked and talked with Jesus. They listened to him preach. They went out and made his name known when they were sent out. Whenever it come towards the end of his life on the earth, they were there at his trial. We can find that. They were there at his death. They were there at his resurrection. They were there at his ascension. They were there in the upper room as they gathered that 120 people to pray. And they were there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. Their lives had been transformed by their Savior, and everybody could see it. Their lives had been transformed by their encounter and their walk with the Lord Jesus, and everybody knew it. These men, it says, they took note that they had been with Jesus. We can so easily say this morning, well, of course, that was Peter and John. Jesus is no longer on earth. So how can I imitate them? How can I be a follower of the Lord Jesus? Well, of course, we realize as we come to Holy Scripture that the Scripture very clearly answers that. Jesus spoke to his disciples. Matthew 16 and says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? This is the hallmark of true saving faith. This is the hallmark of a true Christian. A faith that compels a person to follow the Lord Jesus regardless of the cost, to love him above anything else. Just as Peter and John became followers of the Lord Jesus, as they left their nets, as they left their profession, as they left their family, and they went out to follow and to serve the Lord. So everyone becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus when they too deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. And this morning, as I speak to you and I speak to my own soul, I ask you, first of all, is this true of you? This is the very first step in an ordinary person becoming an extraordinary person. Scriptures very clearly tells us that if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. In this world of ordinary people, there are tonight or today many, many extraordinary people. Who are they? They are the people who are now the children of God, saved by sovereign grace, by faith, have denied themselves, confessed their sin, taken up their cross. They have followed him. See, one of the sad things in today's world is this, and one of the things that so often confuse the world regarding Christianity, that it would seem that those who profess to be Christians are no different to the world. But oh, my dear friends, whenever you have an encounter, a true encounter with Jesus Christ, your life is changed. Your life is transformed. Oh yes, you know your own weakness and you know how you feel him, but you are a new creature in Christ, not born of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. And so we see the very first point that makes these people, are these two men, is so different. How even in the midst of all these intellectual men, these men of great ability, these men who knew the scriptures, they stood out and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Secondly, the second reason why these men were extraordinary was that they were committed to the study of God's word. They were committed to the study of God's word. I just read to you those verses in Acts chapter 3, verse 17 to 26. I don't want to take time to read it through just again. But if you look through that, you will be amazed. You will be amazed at the great wisdom that these men had. You'd be amazed at Peter and of John, how they could go into the Old Testament scriptures, how they could dig into the Old Testament scriptures and there bring out of it these great truths. Go into the Old Testament and there find the Lord Jesus Christ and bring him through and present him to these antagonistic religious leaders. It is quite amazing how they do it. After our service this morning, I would encourage you just to sit down and read carefully through those verses and those chapters. And you too will be amazed at their great wisdom. Why? How could they do that? Well, you might say to me, well, of course, they were enabled by the Holy Spirit, and we will see that in a moment. But you must understand that they were students of the Holy Scriptures. And if we did not know, we would say, as we listen to what Peter says, we would say this man must be among the most intellectual theologians of his day. Well, he was indeed a theologian. He was a man who was able to stand. They were men who were able to stand and proclaim the great truths. Why? Because they were students of God's holy words. Remember, they're just ordinary Acts fishermen without any formal education. I've thought about this. I've read through this, read through once 1st and 2nd Peter, read through 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, these two men. And as we read, we can see that there were men who were steeped in the holy word of God. You know that we are encouraged again and again by, and from Holy Scripture, to be people of the book, to be people who studied the Word of God. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy, you know it well. But as for you, continue on what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. Listen to this. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he reminds them that all scripture is all scripture is God breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. You see what the scriptures are profitable for? All scripture is breathed out by God. That's the book we hold in our hand. And it's profitable for what? What's it profitable for? For head knowledge? No. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And I love verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Peter and John were able to stand there that day and amaze the people because they were men who knew the Holy Scriptures. In Timothy in 2:15, Paul says this, do your best to present yourself to God, approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, one who rightly handles the Word of God. I'm sure we all love what was said of the Berean people whenever they heard the gospel and they heard the teaching about Jesus. This is what we read in scripture. In Acts 17, verse 10, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. And those Jews were no more noble than those in Thessalonica. And they received the word with all eagerness. Now, this is what they did. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures to see if these things were so. Examining the scriptures to see if these things were so. You will agree with me this morning, I'm sure, folk, that we do live in a day of great confusion. Why is there so much confusion amongst evangelicalism? Why are people being swayed to and fro? The answer is very clear. They do not know the Holy Scriptures. They do not know when they hear false doctrine, they don't know it to be false doctrine. False teaching, they don't know it to be false teaching, because they cannot fall back on the Holy Scriptures. They cannot turn to that person and say, well, I can't accept what you've just said. And they say, why is that? And you say, because this is what the Word of God says. This is what Holy Scripture teaches me. And so I cannot accept that. You see, my dear friends, this morning, as Christians, we're called to be students of the Word of God. You might say this morning, well, you know, I'm not very much of a scholar. Well, join the club. Neither am I. But I know, and even as I look at you this morning, I can see that many of you have got your own professions. Many of you have got important jobs. Many of you are well equipped for that job that you do, and you do it well. How did that come? Because you were a student of your profession, and you carried through in that, and you continue to study to even improve. Oh, my dear friends, it's such a lie from the devil when he comes to us and tells us that we are numbskulls. And I have found in the Christian faith so often that those who are Christians, those who love the Lord, so often are just like that. You see, if it were necessary to be a highly intellectual in order to be a minister of the gospel, then I wouldn't be there. I'm none of those things. It's only by the grace of God that I've been able to do what I did. And I don't know, looking at it personally, it doesn't seem much, but I thank God for it. I want to encourage you this morning to be a scholar of God's Word. How much time do you spend each day in your study of Holy Scripture? How much time do I do that? You see, these men, astonished, these educated people, because of their encounter with Jesus Christ, because of their commitment to the study of Holy Scripture. I love what we've been doing on Saturday morning, just going through verse by verse of James. What are we doing? We're studying the Scriptures, and in doing so, we're equipping ourselves so that we're able to give an answer to the hope that is within us. Oh, my dear friends, I want this to be an encouragement. And I'm not rebuking you. I'm seeking to encourage you as I encourage my whole soul to know the Holy Scriptures. And thirdly and finally, we see their continual dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Now, this is so important. All of these three go together to make an ordinary man, an ordinary woman, an extraordinary person. They had a continual dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And we can see this as we look at the passage we have read together. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 7, look at it. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired. So here they are set in the midst. They inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Now, verse 8 is so important. Then Peter said to them, rulers of the people and elders. I've just read it wrong, haven't I? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders. What we find here, folk, is this, that as Peter comes to speak, as he comes to answer, he's not answering in his own wisdom. He's not answering with his own ability. Oh, yes, he will use his intellect. But he's answering as he is filled with the Holy Spirit. He depends not upon himself, but upon the leading of the Spirit of God. Oh, that is so important. And then down in verse 31, and we didn't read that far down, but had we read down there, this is what we would have read. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. I love that for two reasons. Firstly, because it reminds me, if I'm going to be able to answer my accusers, if I'm going to be able to defend the gospel once for all delivered to the saints, I will need the aid and help of the Spirit of God to do that as I come to preach to you this morning. If I preach in my own power, you may as well switch it off. If I come to you in the power of the Spirit of God, with the wisdom of God, then I believe it will bless your soul. And secondly, because within a few verses of Acts chapter 4, we find in two occasions that Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit. What that teaches me, that this is not a once for all for experience, but this is something that is ongoing. This is something which we depend upon in our Christian life. This is the one that we depend upon in our Christian life. As we come to proclaim the truth, as we come to give an answer to the hope that is within us, we need the aid and help of the Spirit of God. I know that I can sit down after 40-odd years of preaching and give to you a reasonably polished sermon. But my dear friends, if I'm not being guided by the Spirit of God in my proclamation of God's word, then it will be a waste of time. If I give to you an intellectual exercise this morning, you will be of no value to you. And so we can see here that these men become extraordinary men because they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and because the same Holy Spirit enabled them to answer and to astonish their listeners. It does not matter if we are young in the faith or mature believers. It makes no difference. We're totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And I want to emphasize that this morning. One of the things that so greatly saddened my heart is how the great truths of the person and work of the Holy Spirit is so distorted. Oh, that we might understand that we need his help every moment of every day. We need his help when we read the scriptures. We need his help when we face different situations. We need his help as we speak the name of Jesus. We need the aid of the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul was so aware of this. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, listen to what he says, so lovely. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." You hear what he's saying? When I came to you, Corinthian people, I came into this awful place of sin. I didn't come to you proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom. No, he says, "For I declare to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." My, that's so important. And he says, "I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling." Great apostle in much trembling. Yes, just a human being. And he says, "My speech and my message were not the plausible words of wisdom, but," he said, "in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." He says, "So that your faith, Corinthians, your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but might be in the power of God." That's the sort of preaching that we need in today's world. That's the sort of preaching that your pastor must preach. We don't want to hear of his foolish wisdom. We want men who will stand in their pulpits, and they will stand there in fear and trembling, recognizing that they are ordinary people, and very ordinary at that, but continually praying and pleading for the help of the Spirit of God so that their message might go forth with great power, and that people's faith may not rest upon men's wisdom, but upon the power of God. Oh, my dear friends, as I conclude this morning, I want you to know with every fiber of my being, I believe that these three truths are so vitally important. So when do ordinary people become extraordinary? Very quickly again, when they turn from their sin, when they deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Jesus, then they become children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Secondly, whenever they make the Word of God their daily food, when they meditate upon it, recognizing their own weakness and their own ability, but knowing that they're coming to the inspired Word of God, becoming students of it, and it becoming their daily bread. And thirdly, when they trust in the third person of the Blessed Trinity as they travel along day after day. Let us know this morning that you, an ordinary person, will cause others to be amazed at such wisdom, and they will take note that you have been with Jesus, There is no question about that. Please don't go away with the thought this morning, but Alpha, you didn't say anything about the fact that these men were apostles. Yes, they were. But they were ordinary men. That was their calling. It's not your calling. You're not called to be a pastor. I am. You know your calling. But all of us are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to show to the world that we follow the Savior, that they might see Christ in us, that they might understand that our authority comes from Holy Scripture, and that as we come to speak, they're amazed and may not understand, but we know that because of the aid and the help of the Spirit of God, we have been able to proclaim the great truths. Oh, my dear friends, this morning, be encouraged. Please don't let the evil one tell you that you're no good. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Recognize with the Apostle Paul that you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Ordinary people becoming extraordinary people. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we bow this morning to thank you for your word. We know today that we in and of ourselves are far less than ordinary. Lord, if you had not come to us and revealed to us yourself, if you had not opened our eyes to see what Jesus accomplished for us in Calvary's cross, if you had not enabled us to see the horrible sinfulness of our sin and the judgment to follow, we would still be in our sin. We thank you, Lord, for everyone who has been set free, and for everyone who has been given the help and the grace to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Christ. Oh Lord, help us, we pray, in our every ordinary day lives to show to those around us that by the grace of God, our lives have been transformed. Lord, I pray for any who listen today and are still not your children, that in mercy and love you might draw them to yourself. Once again, we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.